You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
There's a drug that turns people into lesbians.
I know.
Wait, did Lupron make me a lesbian?
Yes.
Yeah, Carolyn. Oh my God.
I just got it before I came out. You guys, I'm not kidding.
Oh my God. Oh my God. She's crying.
This is my origin story. I didn't even know it. I thought it was Catwoman.
I'm dyking out. You're dyking out. Let's dyke out together. See what it's all about.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that can't keep its clothes on. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali. And today we're dyking out with comedian Sharia Mattis.
Couple of quick announcements. Remember to rate and review us if you haven't on Apple Podcasts, please. We need you to help us fight the good fight. We have a war waging on Apple Podcasts where people are giving us 2 stars because Melody talked about a sinus infection. So it's real wild out there, folks. Sharia, what do you have to say about that? You're giving us a look, and we're not lying.
I'm just really confused. Like, what? Yeah. What? How did you talk about this? Is it the sinus infection giving you 2 stars? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, I believe we talked about how I went to the Dyke March and I was getting over a sinus infection. And the irony is that I mentioned that I was getting over a sinus infection because I first said I was sick, but I didn't want people to think that I had COVID because I was testing negative. So I made that caveat, but I did end up offending an immunocompromised person. They reviewed it, used to love, 2 stars. Now, every time I listen, a host is talking about how they're out and about with, quote, just a sinus infection. And as a disabled immunocompromised person, it's really hard to listen to. So I tried.
Yeah.
I failed.
Oh.
I can never win with these dykes.
I love that that's why you're getting canceled.
I'm sorry Roe v. Wade was overturned and I needed to leave my house and scream in the streets with a mask on. Like, I don't know.
I know. I was going off about this to a couple of comedians last night. Like, I know that people get crazy with reviews overall. It's not unique to us, but somehow this feels very unique to us.
This, like, is a classic dyking out review.
when we look at other queer podcasts, nobody else is getting the weird shade that's coming our way. And it's all people who used to love
it's
us.
Always.
And then they get so petty and 2 stars.
It negates all of the good times.
Yeah.
Because I guess we're always talking about having sinus infections.
Yeah. No, I think it's time to start fucking your fans. I think that's the only that's the only way you're going to get them to, like, ease up on you.
Is that what Ashley Gavin's doing?
Yeah, come on.
I'm not going to say nothing, but probably.
I've got to stop clowning on Ashley Gavin because I know every time, and we're buddies, every time I make a joke, I know it's getting back to her because we're having gay sex has their Discord and there's crossover and people are going wild, but you know.
Yeah, I'm texting her right now. Oh my God. I was totally joking. You can cut this out. I was totally joking that I was texting her right now, but she literally just texted me.
Oh my God. We're keeping it in.
Keep it in.
So
the phones
funny.
Are listening. The phones are listening.
She just texted.
Yeah, this is so funny. Yeah, I'm telling her y'all talking shit right now.
Tell her. Yes, please do. How rude of Ashley Gavin. She's so competitive. She right? can't even let another queer person record with us without interrupting with a text message.
Spidey senses went off.
She like literally the text is just like, I heard you were on a lesbian podcast. That's not mine. That's crazy.
I know.
It's messed up, man.
Can we live?
Oh God.
So anyways, I know this is only probably going to motivate some more to start. That's how it goes. If you ever talk about it, it does rile up some people to leave some more. But we would really appreciate a 5-star here, a 5-star there. It helps other people find the podcast and love it before they leave their inevitable 2-star review used to love.
Yeah.
That is so fun.
Some other announcements. We have a show at Come On Everybody on August 12th. So save the date for that. Keep an eye out for that. And then we have one other show on the books in August. That's August 17th at the Sultan Room, the new show that we had our first installment of recently with Honey Burlesque. And this one is going to be a villain-themed burlesque show with some comedy. We'll talk about it more in a second. And then what I think is the most exciting update.
We are an official media partner for Dinosaur.
Club Skirts presents the Dinah.
Club Skirts presents the Dinah. I will get even more information and better at describing it because we will have Mariah, the founder and CEO, on the podcast towards the end of August.
Yes. So excited for that to get the whole origin story because, you know, we learned the hard way talking about Dinosaur from two people who haven't experienced it. Maybe people don't want to hear it. So we have to get Mariah on to give everybody the history and paint a better portrait. We did do a PowerPoint presentation about Dinosaur at Stonewall last night.
No one liked it.
No.
Why?
No, some people liked it. But it was a younger crowd for sure. So like once we start talking about it, people were whispering amongst themselves. There's a lot of chatter. And then it was like one friend telling the group they came with, like, I don't know, like, have you seen the real L Word? Like, they go there. Like,
yeah. Don't they do it in the regular L Word, too? In the L Word, there's a Dinosaur weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for
but
sure.
But like that was more recent than, and then I hear one girl immediately go, I've never seen the L Word. And I was like, oh my God, we've made a horrible mistake.
Get out.
This elder millennial content.
We centered our hosting bits around the wrong thing. But no, I mean, I think the Dinah is for all ages. And I can't wait for us to go together, both me and Melody. It's not just Melody sending me off
like I normally do
with a hard seltzer in my hand and some SPF.
Carolyn loves a lesbian pool party, circuit pool party. I don't know.
All of it.
I'm actually going to one now.
Yes.
I'm super jealous. So jealous right now. That's...
Have you ever been to one, Sharia?
No, I've never been to Dinosaur. I've never been to Sweet Heat. I've never been to any of these like fun lesbian road trip extravaganzas. Never. I've always wanted to.
What's Sweet Heat?
Sweet Heat. This is for like the Black and Latino dykes.
Why don't I know about this? No.
in Miami, it's the same thing. Just
okay. I know of Aqua Girl in Miami, but yeah. I hadn't heard of that. All right.
Yeah. It's old. It's old. It's like again old. I think I don't even know if they're doing Sweet Heat anymore. But like,
yeah.
Do they still do Sweet Heat? But no, I've never been anywhere.
Let me see. Oh, it looks like it. South Beach.
Yeah, South Beach.
Okay.
One day.
Well, I won't be there, but I will be at the Dinah. Wait, when is Sweet Heat?
I think they already have a date up for 2023, so maybe it happened.
It happened
already this
yeah,
year.
Probably. I can't get my friends to come with me to Sweet Heat. That's just not a thing. you know, we just, at this point, we just like to be in our houses. When we wanted to go out, we were too poor. And now that we have like jobs, we're like, we got jobs. I wouldn't go nowhere.
Yeah. No, but you go alone and then you make friends. I made so many friends when I went to Girls in Wonderland the first time, and also thought I was like too old, too tired for it. And I surprised myself, but
I could try that. And then I could all see, right. I could see myself standing in the corner on my phone while all the other.
All right. Before we dive into more about you, we're just going to ask each other a little question we always ask. What is the gayest thing you did this week? Carolyn, would you like to kick us off?
I will. I think the gayest thing I did this week was host that first installment of the Honey Burlesque and Dyking Out show. I've hosted a burlesque show once, and I don't know, it was a little different. It was a little scrappy. It was in Queens. This was like a different, it was in Queens. It was scrappy. Yeah. This was like at the Sultan Room. It was like a fancy stage. It's like
sexy room.
Super hot queer dancers. So this was a queer show. It's a sexy room. I had on this like sequence blazer dress and was wearing nothing under it except pasties, and people were throwing money on stage even for the comedians. And as I was like going down to pick up my money while I was like wrapping up my set, I was trying to like keep my blazer together so my boob didn't come out, and someone just yelled free the nipple, and I just took my boob out. Like, that's all it took, was a mere suggestion of like free the nipple, and I'm like, why not? And it got me more money, and I have zero regrets. And my wife filmed it, and she seemed to enjoy it the most, and she couldn't even see it from the angle that she was at.
Whoa.
But she knows what it looks like, so.
Post it on the Patreon.
Okay, I'll post the video.
Let's make a Dyking Out OnlyFans.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like the direction we're going in, we're going to have a lot of exclusive content posted on Patreon only. So sign up for that, because Melody, why don't you share what your gayest thing of the week was?
Oh, so you know, probably. We co-hosted a wet t-shirt contest for Queer Garden. Have you ever been to Queer Garden?
Mm-mm.
It's in Williamsburg. It's at Tailgate, this like big outdoor space. And it's like 500 lesbians, dykes, queer people, non-binary people. Like, I don't know what I was expecting, but it was very diverse. It was a bunch of water balloons, kiddie pools. It's a party that's monthly that goes from like 2 to 10. We love that. As dykes, we get to get home at a reasonable hour on a Sunday. Okay.
Yep.
Yes. It was very fun. We hosted the wet t-shirt contest at around like 6-7 o'clock. When I was packing to go there as a bit, I was like, oh, maybe I'll do a demonstration, like as a joke. Like, you guys might not know how a wet t-shirt contest goes. Let's do a quick little demo. I packed a white tank top and was like, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. I'm going to feel out the vibe. All it took was a couple drinks.
And me saying, it's a great bit. It's a great bit, yeah. But only if you're comfortable. Only if you're comfortable.
Mere suggestion.
Yeah. I didn't even need to encourage it. I think you had the tank top ready to go.
Yep. Right before it, I changed. I put on the white tank top and a bikini bottom, and I put it under a dress that zips all the way from the top to bottom. So it was like a reveal. And my lovely co-host Carolyn dunked water on my totters. And I've never done anything like that.
How did it feel? Gay? Exhilarating?
Yes, all those things. I felt, you know what? I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I did like put a towel on, but not quick enough, because I woke up to, I want to say, 200 to 300 videos tagged. my DM request is horny and clogged with footage. And, you know, I kind of forgot about the permanence of camera footage. So there's that.
No, it was super. I think it also was necessary to do. If you're going to host a wet t-shirt contest, you have to make sure people know what a wet t-shirt contest is. It's not like it's self-explanatory or in the name. You have to show them. You have to show them. It's important.
Because one contestant had a bikini on. And I was like, that's not it. That's not how it works.
Wait a second.
She had a bikini under her white t-shirt. And I did not in my demo. So No matter how hard you try, you're not going to get the rules across.
That's right. That's why your DMs are full and horny and clogged. That's me too. I'm horny and clogged as well.
Yes. I mean, it's Leo season. We're all like out there peacocking. I really think that was it. Like, I'm always very sad and hermity in the summer for Cancer season. And it's like the second it became Leo season, I did that. I was on one after that. The next day we hosted our Stonewall show last night. I flashed the audience my ass 2-3 times. Like, I...
Yes.
Why? What's happening?
And this was just like unprompted. Melody's like, should I show my butt? I should show my butt, right? I'm like, sure. Like, in what context? You know, it doesn't matter. We'll find a way. We'll just show your butt.
I'd like to show my butt now. Come on, I have 1 month until Virgo season. I'm a Virgo moon. I got to get my shit together for Virgo season. Let me have some fun.
Okay. Can I also say, as I was pouring the water on your boobs, I was like, I'm going to be respectful and not look at my co-host boobs while I'm doing this. But then I didn't miss with the water. Yeah. and then I was like feeling just so uncomfortable. I'm just like, I'm pouring water on her nips. Like, oh my God. I
appreciate.
You were like, I want to pour water on your nipples just enough that they protrude, but also in a professional way.
Yes.
In a coworker way, in a way, do not me too me.
Next fight we get in. Right. And another thing.
Remember that time you poured water on my nipples and you watched?
It was so disrespectful. Now I have way more fun than I could ever have. Amazing. Y'all have so much fun.
I don't know. I believe in you. Yeah. I believe in you, Sharia. I don't know you that well, but by the end of this, I think we're gonna bring out that inner Leo.
I'm a Pisces, okay? I'm a Pisces, 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 okay?
You are?
There's a much stronger chance that I will cry on this podcast than go out and find Leo. That is not, I, you want to know the gayest thing I did this week?
Yes, we were just going to ask.
Oh, you were going to ask? Okay, see.
No, let's go. What's the gayest thing?
Come out with it.
So I was in London. I was working. I was in London for work all week. And like, you know, so I'm working on the shoot in the daytime and then I'm working in New York time. So I'm doing meetings until like 11 p.m. or whatever. Yeah. And so I'm in London and I was like, all right, it's Friday night, it's London. And I was like, I'm going to go to She Soho. I'm going to go to that lesbian bar, She Soho. Yeah. Have you guys been?
No, we've had listeners reach out and tell us about it.
I was like planning it all week. I was like, let's do it. Friday night, we had a last minute meeting that went on till 11:30. And then I was all dressed up to go. And instead of going, I just fell asleep with my hand in my pants. So that's the gayest thing.
Yes.
That I did this week. That's so sad.
That's gayer than going. That's gayer than going.
I think that is gayer than going. I think it is.
Definitely is. Also, I have to ask, because I have seen some clips of your stand-up. Would you ever participate in a wet t-shirt contest?
I mean, I guess we'd have to... I don't want people to trip over my nipples. If they're also, you know, they're long and they're wet. Like, at some point, you got to put cones around it. There's no... That is not, you know, that's just a hazard waiting to happen. So I don't know about that, but maybe. Let's see how many drinks you can get me.
There wasn't enough of that. That'll be my one complaint, was that nobody tripped over titties at the wet t-shirt contest. Yeah. That's what was missing.
I got you. We could have played jump rope. We could have done double dutch. It could have been great. And you know what?
Yeah.
It's time.
It's because I scooped mine back up. Like, got some big naturals that I had to immediately, you know, throw them back over the shoulder, tie them up, et cetera, nice. Et cetera.
Nice. Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. Are you part of the long titty committee?
Yes.
That's like, I never, you know, when everybody else would flash their titties or whatever, I just was always like, I don't know. It's not for me. But now, like, it's like, since I've been doing jokes about them and like kind of embracing their length and their power, like I've been like, hey, I should pop the titty out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I should pop them out. Like, I've been wanting to do, you know, I ruined church. I ruined dinner parties. But I need to reclaim my time. I need to reclaim my titty time. And I'll, you know, I don't care. I don't care if it's your baby shower. It's time. You know? I don't think I need to start doing shit like that, you know? Make up for my non-titty 20s.
The power of titty compelled you.
Yes, yeah. The power of titties compelled you. Yes. Yes.
I think we must name this episode Reclaiming My Titty Time.
Yes.
I think that's
title
it.
Of ep, Reclaiming Me.
I love that you're putting that in like an Excel spreadsheet or whatever.
Oh, that's... absolutely. But I feel like we got to add more space to it because there's probably going to be some other front runners. I can already feel it. Let's see where this goes.
Let's see where this goes. You might be like, we can never speak to this bitch again. Oh my gosh.
No, I am so excited. I was hanging out with Alicia Brown today and she found out I was recording with you and got so excited. And I was like, is there anything I should know that I might not be able to tell, like, off the bat from like her social presence or her website? And Alicia was like, well, she's probably going to want to talk about reproductive health, fibroids, and having post-hysterectomy. And I looked at the Google like doc you submitted and it's literally those things in that order, but then there is also, why do studs only want bad bitches?
Why do, I must have been going through something. I wasn't going
sounds personal
when I wrote that. Yeah, why do they only want the bad bitches? Like, it's too much effort to get
it goes with the vibe and aesthetic, and it's just like it cramps style to not. I don't know,
do they like the drama?
I think so. And I think studs are now, like, I think as time goes on, a lot of studs are acting like dudes, you know what I'm saying? Like, they want to be, like, you know, little Uzi Vert. So they can be whatever. They can be in their, like, cornrows and their jeans, but you got to have on your lashes and your lace front and your contour. And it's summer. It is too hot to be a bad bitch.
Oh, God.
Yes. It is not. How are y'all doing it? Like, what? Like, no. And I mean, I'll do it, but you got to have, like, serious strap game and, really fat ass, fat titties, pretty face. If it's going to be that, I got to, you know, you got to be a bad bitch, too. You know what I mean?
Right. Do you think the stud community and the bad bitches up in Canada are thriving because it's cooler and they're able to do more?
Definitely.
With the climate?
Yes, I think climate. Think about all the studs in Norway and the bad bitches in Norway.
I'm sorry, I can't. Do you remember when Glow Butler went to Norway for like a month or two? Do you know Glow?
I know Glow, but I did not know.
Yes.
Glow was like, I was the only black person in the country. I know it's not true. Before I get a 2-star for that one, I just like, Glow was there shooting for the travel board there. They had like an Experience Norway campaign and it was Glow, a white girl and a white guy.
They wanted to trick black people into a false sense of safety of like thinking that there would be more of them in Norway. They put in Glow as the face.
I mean, Glow loved it, the experience, but also was like, yeah, I didn't see anyone else.
Yeah. She told me about that too.
And Glow's a little bit of a stud.
Wow. I can't wait for the review from the 2-star review from the one other black person in Norway being like, thank you.
I'm not even going to go there. I've already been chewed out, actually, by...
We have to stay away from geography.
I know.
I'm sorry, Melody.
I'm still not over it.
As much as we're talking about geography, we have to...
I got chewed out.
What happened? I missed it.
Oh, God.
See, this is the type of shit that lesbians get mad about. It's geography and sinus infections. Like, we got to do... Listen, our people, do we not have enough to complain about?
I know. I have a joke, actually, that... Like, one of the punchlines is sinus infection. Now I'm like, well, I got to scrap it. You know that joke, Carolyn, how I talk about how I had to have been homophobic in a past life because I have, like, so many sex injuries, like, tendonitis, I have TMJ. And then I was like, but it just sounds cooler, sex injury. Like, I'm just going to start calling everything a sex injury. Like, yeah, sinus infection really got in there. You know what I mean? Like,
that's hilarious.
I'm saying that now to retire it.
Yeah. At this point, sinus is a slur. At this point.
The S slur.
I want to go back to the strap game. Like, what makes like a good versus bad strap experience for you?
I mean, okay, well, I haven't been strapped in a very long time, to be honest, because the fibroids kind of fucked up my game a little bit.
Right.
But when I was out in the streets hoeing, which I used to be, like a good strap game, you gotta, first of all, you have to be a good listener and you gotta wind that waist. You know what I mean? You gotta know how to, like, you know what I mean? You can't be some studs just be like, it's like, what are you doing? But hey, this is a sensual experience. You know what I mean? You gotta have, you know, a little wine with it. You gotta listen. You gotta like know when the dick falls out, which I think is actually not really a fair thing to make. It's not a fair assessment to make. We have to tell you, but like, I like it better. Some studs have like a sixth sense. Some studs have like a deep metaphysical connection with their dicks. So like they know that it's falling out. They're like, and then they, you know what I mean? Love that.
There should be technology for that. Like, you should get like a little notification on your phone or something that you can hear in the background when it comes out.
Yeah, because they do have those dildos that you can control. Like, there's a remote and the partner can control like the pulsing. Like, it could just like send a pulse back at the person who's wearing it to be like, it's out.
Well, they're not going to stop it. They actually have those. They have the vibrating straps that like.
Yeah.
Those are fun because they'll just be like. And you're like, all right. This is supposed to be about me. You're just over there enjoying yourself. There should be a clear signal. It should be as soon as the strap is out, there should be like a robot voice. It's like, strap out, strap out. Emergency. I think there should be some sort of notification.
I can't get over the metaphysical connection. I'm like, I wish like our straps found us like the sorting, or, like the Harry Potter wands.
The wands.
Not the sorting hat. Sorry, I was just in the Harry Potter store. My girlfriend's niece is in town. But why didn't I think of that? Like, you know, you have kind of this ceremonious kind of ritual.
I feel like Jess Henderson and Kendall Payne, a while back, I believe, filmed a sketch because I remember they sent me pictures of it that was like, the Ollivander's dong shop or whatever. And they were boiling all of the the dildos for it. and then they sent me footage of that. I'm like, who are these wild people?
That's hilarious. That's so funny. I'm going to look for that. That's hilarious.
Also, yeah, I'm like, that has to live somewhere if somebody finds it.
Oh, my God. Also, I love Alicia. I don't know if I said, you were like, I was talking to Alicia.
She loves you.
And then I was like, fuck her. No, I love her. She's great. I love her. She's hilarious. She's perfect. And her girlfriend's so pretty.
Oh, my God.
I can't even believe it. They're both so pretty.
A literal model. They're a model couple.
Oh my God, yeah. I can't wait till they have children.
I know.
that DNA together. My God.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, it's too much.
It's actually unfair. It does make some people angry, some of our friends, when they show up too hot. Yeah.
Yeah, it pisses me off. Yeah,
it's enough. But she and I both have PMDD and we talk about it a lot. And she was like, you got to talk to Sharia about all that. All the pain, all that. Like, what's the journey?
What happened?
I mean, same. Like, what happened? So, like, I think, honestly, I think I've had fibroids, like, I think from teenage. I think I had them, like, since I was, like, having periods almost. But I used to complain about how heavy and painful and horrible they were. And I was, you know, put on birth control and then taken off of it. But never anybody said anything about fibroids. And then I started talking to people about it. And then I heard about it. I like heard about it through word of mouth. Then I did some Googles. Then I went to an appointment and I specifically asked to be for a exam specifically to look for fibroids. And homegirl stuck her hand in there and was like, oh shit. You know what I mean? Like, because like they had gotten so bad and big that like... big and bad, that they were like, this is all right, we're gonna get real. Yeah. They were protruding out, like they were like blocking my cervix. So like I could feel them. I started like when I was like getting strapped and I was like, what is that? I was terrified, terrified. I was like, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to die. And so, but then like somebody told me about fibroids. I got them checked out. And then I kind of was like, okay, take your time with some treatment options and think about it. And then the pandemic hit. Mm. And so it was just me alone freaking out with my fibroids. And I swear they got bigger. The stress had to have made them bigger.
Yeah.
And like, it was just like, it totally like fucked me up. It was the only thing that I could think about. It was the only thing. And you can't talk about, or you really can't. You can't talk about this shit. You can't like go to dinner and talk about this shit. Everybody's disgusted. So you're living with this horrible thing. Finally, when things lifted a bit, I was able to go forth. I had a few surgeries. I had a UAE. I did Lupron treatments, which are have you heard of this?
I was on Lupron very briefly as a teen, and it was the worst.
As a teen?
Yes.
For what?
Well, you have endometriosis.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, I had really bad endometriosis.
Dang! Dang!
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
So I've never had fibroids, but I had ovarian cysts that would burst, and it was very painful. So that started when I was 12. Even before I got my first period, I had an ovarian cyst burst.
Oh, my God.
And it's like pain that'll make you black out.
Yeah.
It's like depending on like the size and severity of it. And then I got put on birth control when I was like 14 and was just like on birth control all my life, because that's the only thing that they can do to kind of like manage endometriosis and like stress and diet stuff.
Don't get me started on this.
I know. Yeah, I was put on it when I was 12 too, for some similar reasons.
For the PMDD?
Yeah, well, at that point, I didn't know what that was, or that wasn't diagnosed as that, but I was getting such painful periods that I would, like, black out, pass out, faint. My sister still will, like, throw up a lot from heavy periods.
Yeah.
Once she fainted in the subway station from a period coming on.
And people just walked right over her.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's crazy. This is also, I'm sorry, it pissed me off when you said that, because that's not the only thing they can do for endometriosis. That's
right,
just the
right.
only thing they do. You know what
yes.
I mean? Like, they don't, yeah. When you go into that, like, rabbit hole and start reading about this shit, you realize, like, they don't do, like, so much medical, like, school. There's a gap. There's a huge medical school gap in education about, like, internal sexual organs, about these things. Like, people were reporting specific symptoms. They used to do IUDs as a treatment for endometriosis, which is, they found out, like, the worst thing you could do, because it's a nerve issue.
Yeah.
So they put an IUD in and people would, like, fucking pass out because it was just making it worse. You know what I mean? Like, and so they just, I like, they don't talk about these things in medical school. We don't talk about these things in, like, sex education classes when we're younger.
Right.
12 years old and you're like, come on. Like,
yeah, and nobody knew, like, when I was in high school and dealing with this, like, none of my friends or, like, nobody knew what endometriosis was. And I was, like, the only person that I knew who had this until I met a substitute teacher or something who ended up, like, having to tutor me. I was taken out of school for a while. Like, I was in so much pain that I just couldn't, like, consistently go to school, and they put me on Lupron, and that was when I wasn't going to school, and thank God, because that puts you into, like,
menopause. Yep.
So here I am, like, 17, getting, like, hot flashes in the middle of the night, like, throwing off my comforter and then getting chills and then putting it back on, just, like, night sweats, like, chugging Gatorade at 3 a.m., just losing my, crying at, like, everything. Like, if someone looked at me the wrong way, I'd, like, burst into tears. I was just nuts. It made me nuts. And then I'm like, I hope this isn't, like, a preview of what's to come. For me,
it is. Unfortunately, it is. I'm so sorry. That's crazy. Okay, so I was on Lupron at, like, 30. So I can't imagine being 17 on Lupron. See, why you gotta one up me? I came here to complain, and you just kind of just came in and just fuck my whole. That's fucking crazy, bro.
It's so distant and, like, somewhat repressed for me, but you've just kind of, like, activated it.
I cannot believe that. I'm so. How long were you on it?
Just, like, 2 months or something like that.
2 months? I did 3 6-month intervals of Lupron. So it was, and I was having hot flashes on stage, which was the worst. Like,
oh, I can't imagine.
Because you already get hot, and then the lights and the anxiety makes you hotter. Like,
right.
And then to be suddenly hot, like,
no.
It's not hot flashes, it's a fever. It's like a sudden fever has come on to you. And
right.
So, like, I'm in the middle of a joke trying to be, like, mad casual and chill and cool, and I am dripping with sweat and I'm just and so, like, it's not sexy, like, it's not the tea. It's just, it was and the emotional upheaval and all of it. I did all that, and it didn't do one thing for my fibroids. My fibroids did not shrink whatsoever. Them hoes was strong as fuck. Like, I did that. I did a UAE, uterine artery embolization, which was horrible. Wow. It was horrible. The pain was absolutely intense, and they refused to give me anything strong for it in pain management, because that's a whole medical racism thing. Like,
right.
Yeah.
They were like, no, cracky, why you need some drugs? I'm like, I'm dying. Like, you know what I mean? They do not. I threw up blood, and they would not give me anything strong. Finally, somebody came and gave me morphine, so I got some sleep.
Ugh.
But, like, it was, and again, did nothing for my fibroids.
Yeah.
Did nothing. So at that point, it was like, and this is years. We're just talking about, like, years of dealing with this. And then I had a wonderful surgeon who was like, we could do a myomectomy or whatever.
Wait, what's that?
Yeah.
See, like, I don't even know what any of these things are.
I forget that nobody knows these things because this is all my life. This has just been my life. So myomectomy is when they just remove the fibroids, right?
Okay.
Oh.
The problem with that is, like, they often grow back, right?
Right.
They often grow back. And mine were so aggressive. Like, literally, like, whenever I did, like, an MRI or an ultrasound, they'd be like, holy shit! Like, they would not be chill about it at all. When I went in for the consultation for my UAE, the doctor greeted me, he was like, Sharia, you have a very large uterus, young lady. I was like, damn, are you talking to me like that? That's mad disrespectful. You don't fucking know me like that. Like, that's how they used to talk, you know what I mean? Because they were so huge. So I knew them hoes would come for me again. And so I said, let's do a hysterectomy.
Yeah.
I didn't want an abdominal hysterectomy because I'm already scared. Like, I'm a pussy about everything. So, like, surgery scared the shit out of me. And the idea of being, like, hacked down the middle.
Right.
That's not how they do it. I'm so sorry. So I had, like, a surgeon. I was so lucky and so blessed to have an amazing surgeon. She's the big uterus whisperer. She somehow did it laparoscopically. Like, I went to so many surgeons who were like, there's no way we can do a laparoscopic hysterectomy on your giant fucking fiber. That's just not gonna happen.
Yeah, and that
bitch pulled that shit out of my ear like a magician. Like, she was so good. And, like, it took hours. It was attached to, like, a bunch of my organs. Like, my fibroids would be attached to a bunch of, like, yeah.
Right.
They were pushing on my bladder. Like, it was serious. Like, they had to take my cervix because it was attached to my cervix. Like, they cleared me the fuck out. And, like, it was crazy. And it could have been prevented or caught earlier if I had been educated in any way about that. Or if the doctors who saw me and heard me complain about my periods took me seriously and had been better educated about them. So now, like, if I hear two girls talking about something, or if I hear somebody complain about their period within, like, a 70-mile radius, I'm going right to them. And I'm like, you didn't check? You should Google check. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the worst. I'm the worst person to have around. But, like, I'm the fibroid person now. I'm the fibroid.
Yeah.
Just warning people all over the world.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that's how it always happens. Anyone I know who's had fibroids, they learn about it once they're the size of grapefruits in them.
Yep.
That happened to my mom. She had, I think hers were the size of apples. They love comparing them to fruits.
But she's some reason.
Yeah, she had a hysterectomy, though, to get rid of the fibroids, too. And that was, like,
gang, gang.
Maybe a year before I went on Lupron. So she was like, I know, honey. I know.
And you guys talked about these things? Like, she was able to, like, talk openly with you about them?
Yeah, because it was, like, around the time that I had, I was, like, struggling with the endometriosis. And when they did the surgery for her fibroids, they're like, oh, by the way, we also found endometriosis, like, whatever stage that she had it as. And then that's why, like, with me, because the only way to find out you have endometriosis for the most part is to do a laparoscopic surgery.
Yep.
And you don't want to put, like, a kid through surgery if they don't need to. So, like, that was a whole other thing with, like, going to doctors and having doctors, like, tell my parents the pain was in my head and, like, all this stuff. And
they're supposed to be painful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I was told too. I was like, no, I shouldn't be debilitated by them.
Yeah.
Like, sorry to interrupt you, but that's the thing.
No.
That's the thing is, like, most of these things, like you were talking about, your sister also had, mm-hmm. your mom had endometriosis, my mom had fibroids. She never talked to me about them until I was having my hysterectomy. And then we, like, talked about it. And, like, she told me this story. She was like, she was pregnant. They told her she had to terminate her pregnancy because the fibroids were blocking the vaginal canal. There's no way that the fetus is going to be able to grow. They were going to terminate the pregnancy. And I kicked the fibroid out of the way somehow. And it was horrible and painful. And she had to go to the hospital. But that's how I was born. You know what I mean? So me and fibroids, this is an ancient blood war. And
They're just getting back at you because you kicked their cousin.
That's right. They're just getting their leg back. This is just going to go on forever.
They've just been watching you from the shadows for years, like plotting their revenge.
Yes, dead ass. They have, like, my name on a list. But like me and my mom never talked about these things. And like, she just couldn't, she had been Jamaican, you know, they're not supposed to talk about shit like this.
Yeah.
And like, that's the thing. If people with uteruses and would talk amongst each other about these things, like that is so essential. This community of people with internal reproductive organs having these conversations openly about these things will prevent them. And we've had a culture of such shame about talking about these things that I think that's why it's been worse. I think that it's made it worse. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's made it worse to deal with. It's made it harder for doctors to even learn about. And it's made it harder for us to know what's going on in our own bodies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's so mystified and stigmatized that stigmatization is being used to weaponize abortions right now.
Better fucking say it.
Yeah. There are international groups that market themselves as menstruation education programs, but what they're actually doing is brainwashing people all over the world. They go to Kenya for it. There's a bunch of them in Nairobi right now, Venezuela, all over. And what they're really doing is in their quote unquote trainings and education, it's like an MLM too. It's like you get your certification, then you go and you can teach a bunch of people about periods. And they teach these people, you know, they're going to finally learn something about their bodies for once. But what they're really doing is advancing a political agenda, because most of the donors for these groups, like feminternational.org, we see you, are funded by white, Christian, right-wing,
yep,
billionaire,
yep,
evil,
yep,
monsters. Yep.
The same ones that are doing everything else.
Yeah.
That it's all a part of that agenda. It's part of that conversation. Yes, bitch. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes.
And I also think that when we talk about like educating and gender, like whether or not you're somebody who gets a period, I feel like it's important to know about this stuff too, because we're working with people who like have no idea what it's like to like come into the office and be suffering. What country was it in Europe that recently is giving?
I saw that. I don't know what country.
Giving you like 2 days a month, like for the worst days of your period, you can take off and have paid leave.
Can you imagine?
What? It's got to be like some Scandinavian country or something. Yeah. What?
I want to say it was maybe Italy or something.
Dang.
I don't know. It was somewhere in Europe.
Spain.
Yeah. They're giving people
3 days a month.
3 days a month. Wow.
Ugh.
That's beautiful.
I know. Isn't it?
Can't even fathom it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Because if you haven't been through it and you just don't know, I mean, because I was on birth control for so long and then I went off of it to do IVF and like preparing my body for that, which was like a whole other nightmare. But when I went off it, I got like a real period for the first time since I'd been on birth control. And I was like, fuck, like, oh my God. Like, I forgot how horrible this is. This is the worst.
I have to say, like, it's been a struggle with the Lupron and with the hysterectomy and blah, blah, blah. But yeah. Whoo, do I love not having periods. The freedom.
I want one so bad. I want a hysterectomy so bad.
You do?
Yes, I do.
For the PMDD?
Yes.
And they won't do it?
No, I need to try. I just assume I can't, but I know they don't.
They won't.
It's so hard to get one.
Yep.
It's like, you have to be so, I don't know, rich or have power. Every time you hear someone say hysterectomy, it's like, oh, the thing Lena Dunham got? That's all anyone ever says, because I know people have tried to get them. I've just been so discouraged from other people's stories that I assume I can't get one. I'm on Medicaid, you know?
Yes. I mean, okay, I'm a royalty. I was on Medicaid for my hysterectomy and I got the Cadillac. Of hysterectomy doctors, but
okay, let's talk.
Yeah, because she I think she's like one of those doctors that's like early in her career but is an amazing genius, so like
amazing.
I caught her right before she I've heard stories where like girls are trying to get their hysterectomies and they are like, hey, we need to contact your partner, and they're like, what do you mean? Some guy that I fucked in a bar? Like the guy who can't wash his drawers? You got to ask his permission before you deal with my uterus? Like, it's insane.
Yeah. Is that illegal next?
That's a legitimate thing, though, where they have to contact your partners to get, like, it's all connected to this, like, abortion.
Meanwhile, men can get a vasectomy, you know, just like go in and ask for it, like no problems. And then, like, I'm sure they're not having to get sign off from their wives. I know someone who they wanted a hysterectomy so badly and they kept being told no, 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 no. And then they eventually got cancer and then finally got their hysterectomy. It took getting cancer.
Oh my God.
And they were like, all right, I guess so. Since you got to be dramatic about it, we'll give you your hysterectomy. Like,
is that crazy?
Fucking Jesus. This shit makes me so pissed off, too, because it's just a greater example of us not having control of our bodies. This alleged freedom that we're supposed to be like, we're for. Like, we don't have that shit. It's bullshit, in any way. And it's all just a mechanism of control so that we can supply a domestic supply of infants to fill the Amazon warehouses and the prisons. I'm sorry. Let me not do this.
Yeah. Preach. Preach. No.
Yeah. I mean.
That's it.
Can we pivot to sex post-hysterectomy?
Yes. I have had very little sex post-hysterectomy. I've noticed that I am, like, sexually, I think the whole ordeal kind of had such a, like, an effect on me emotionally that I wasn't prepared for.
Yeah.
It had an effect on, like, my sexuality. Because, like, I used to be attracted to men. And then when I started the Lupron, it killed my attraction to most men, like 99% of men. It was so weird.
Wait. There's a drug that turns people into lesbians?
I know. And we were just shitting
on
it.
Yeah. What? Wait, did Lupron make me a lesbian?
Yes.
Yes, Carolyn. Oh, my God.
I was on it before it came out. You guys, I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. She's crying.
This is my origin story. I didn't even know it. I thought it was Catwoman. I thought it was Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman. But it was Lupron that made me gay.
I think, I mean, like, I do think there is, like, there was obviously my attraction to men was the result of a hormonal imbalance or something. Like, that is what it was at the end of the day. But, like,
and the defect in your body that made you attracted to men.
I really, it was a, yes, it was, that's how evil fibroids are. But, like, I had always, like, I came out as lesbian first. I'd always been more attracted to women and to mask-leaning women. And then the attraction to men sort of, I guess, kind of came up a little bit more in college.
Yeah,
and I fought so hard. Like, my lesbian friends were so kind of rough on me when I was starting fucking dudes. And, like, I fought so hard to, like, claim my identity just to have me end up being like, oh, God, what happened? You know what I mean? And so that was a huge element of it. And it's way easier to have sex with men than with anyone else. It's just so easy because you don't give a shit what they think. And like, you don't care about their opinions. You don't care about anything about them. So it's so easy to fuck them and then be like, leave now. You know, like, it's like with other people, it's a little harder. And so, and then, like, my sexual confidence, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like, you know, like, throwing this, throwing that, like, it's not that. It's very, like, I feel very protective of it, of everything, because of all it's been through, you know what I mean? Like, the recovery period.
Yeah.
You see your poor punani, and she's all bandaged and fucked up. And she's like, you know, and she's bleeding. You got a blow dryer. You know, like, it's hard to then be like, who wants that? Like, it's really hard to get that to that. So I've had a little, like, whatever. And, like, you know, some make out and some little, you know. But I haven't been strapped since the hysterectomy.
Well, yeah.
I got strapped before the hysterectomy. I got strapped with the fibroids. It's very uncomfortable. But having uncomfortable strap-on sex is just theater, by the way. Like, you're just theater. Yeah. Nobody's having a good time. You're like, it's so stupid. And now I'm like, free. I thought I was just gonna kick this uterus out, and then like I'd be popping pussy everywhere I go.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't been. And it's like, and then getting horny, even masturbating. Like, I used to have to stop myself. I used to have to like tie my hands down to stop myself. And now it's just like an old crank. It's like an old rally. Just to get myself excited and then get myself to get an orgasm. It's like a 2-day shipping delivery. Like it takes forever. It's different. I'm in therapy or whatever, but I'm trying to like regain my sexual confidence after this and like try to, you know, get back out there and pop pussies. I used to be that bitch. You know what I mean? I used to go to parties. Yeah. They used to be like, lock up your daughters, lock up your sons. You know what I mean? And now it's not that no more.
She's still there. She's healing.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. She's healing. She is healing. And and I think my expectations were stupid. My expectations were that like we would go through this long process and then finally I'd get this hysterectomy. I'd heal from it and I'd be magically okay. And that was just not realistic. It just really wasn't realistic. So, but you know, I'll be back out there. I'm going to be throwing ass. I'm trying. I'll be at the parties and stuff. I'll be trying a little bit. Because if anything, like, it's better. Like, you could put, like, 10 straps in this motherfucker. Like, hey, let's do it.
Yeah.
But for me, like, it's the part of sharing my body in that way with someone after having gone through this, like, all this stuff. And after, really, it's after having seen it and felt it after the surgery.
Yeah.
That is the real thing. There's something... It's something changes about your perception of your punana when you see her like with her battle scars and like, you know what I mean? Like it's, there's something changes in you about how you perceive her and how you want to share her. And I'm not used to that. I'm a hoe. You know what I mean? I'm a fucking hoe. And I'm not used to being like, oh, my precious flower. Like that's not me. You know what I mean? So I got to find a balance.
Yeah. I didn't even consider the emotional ramifications or mental because it is just so painful and I just want the pain to go away. Yes. I'm not thinking about the emotional pain yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, and then also, are you on like an estrogen patch?
No, I'm not. And I think that's the next step also to get get the old wheel a little greased up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like another thing, a part of it is like, I've been using lube lately, which was not my, I used to talk shit about people. Y'all need no lube for this. You know what I'm saying? Like this shit wet to the motherfucker. It's not no more. Like it's just not. And I have to use lube and like getting over like reevaluating myself sexually and reevaluating where my sexual confidence comes from is that, but I think the next step is I got to get some med because I still have my ovaries. So I'm still producing hormones.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yes. But it's different. It's different. It's not the same.
Right.
I talked to some other women who had like hysterectomies and who were dealing with menopause and stuff like that. And I'm going to try to talk to my doctor about some more medical intervention to get the slip and slide back, you know, get the you know what I mean? Like I gotta get her popping again, you know, pussy gotta pop. I don't know how to say that to a doctor, but I gotta
just like that.
Just say just like that.
Please do it and then report back.
Yes.
You should do a one-woman show if you haven't. I could just see all of this at Edinburgh next year. Like this, the way you talk about it,
it's so funny, informative, so good.
But entertaining, but raw, but also light. Like, whoa.
All right, Melody, we get it. You want to be Sharia's manager. Fine.
I know. I'll direct it.
That's so nice. Thank you. That's a great, I mean, I wrote a pilot about it and like, you know, it's gotten some good feedback from, you know, people in studios and stuff, but like, a one-woman show about my hysterectomy journey sounds like something that I would love to do and would be difficult to pitch. But
no, please do it before Lena Dunham does.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right.
And call the show that. I'm doing this before Lena Dunham does.
Yes. You are right. You are absolutely, I need to get on that. You know what? I'm writing that out today. No, thank you so much. That's so nice to hear because I do worry about people's discomfort when I talk. Not with y'all. Y'all cool. But like y'all gang. But like I do worry about how people sometimes the reaction to when I talk about these things is so intense. So I really, really appreciate it.
No. I think we're so starved for it.
It's so important. I mean, even this wasn't fibroids, but like Rosie O'Donnell, when she got a heart attack, she did a whole tour and her whole set was around her heart attack because she's like, women don't know the signs of a heart attack. You know, it's like different than when men get it. Yeah. And we're told to ignore the pain so much that when things are bothering us, we just like let it go. And that's why like heart attacks were like what, the number two killer or something for women?
Besides men.
Yeah.
No, for real. Maybe.
I'm so sorry.
No, we're not.
Yeah, I guess you don't have like a bunch of angry male listeners. This is Joe Rogan.
The cis dudes who listen to this podcast are nodding. They're like, yes, so sorry.
But I love that. I love a humble cis dude. Yeah. I've never seen one. I hope to meet one someday.
Yeah. Legend has it. They're out there.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Yeah. You know what? You're right. And I'll give you guys like a cut of no, I'm kidding.
No. Just give us like front row seats. That's it.
Yeah, that's all we want.
For sure.
Front row seats and pretend like you recognize us. You know, don't be like, who are these people here? Not be like, hey, I know you guys. That's it. That's all I want.
Of course. Thank you for coming to my show. There's four whole people there. Thank you so much. Your support. Thank you. Yeah, no, for sure. Thank you. Oh, y'all are great. I love y'all. Bunch of y'all. Gang.
Yeah. Well, we do have to wrap up, but we have a final question.
Totally out of left field. Okay. Do you have any gossip for us?
Gossip? I don't talk to nobody. Gossip. We mean like, what? No.
It could be like in your mail room, passive aggressive notes in your building.
Celebrity gossip. You know, if you have a conspiracy theory you want to start.
Oh, I had a rumor that Young M.A. is cheating on her girlfriend with me. So,
wow, great gossip.
Spread it.
That's good.
Like,
okay.
Wildfire.
Wow.
Speak it into existence.
Wow. Yes.
Because now we've heard that ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're going to be talking about that.
Good. Yeah. Every day.
We're going to talk about it to Young M.A.
Yes, until she comes to my house and then do like an enemies to lovers thing. That's the plan.
Did you see that TikTok of this like little white girl who went to see Young M.A.? It was like a release party. It was some, or like, does Young M.A. have a product out there?
Oh
my God. The girl was TikTok famous. I don't know if she was TikTok famous before or if this made her TikTok famous, but in the video, she's crying her eyes out. Like her and her girlfriend went, or her good friend, I don't know, but it's like she's very much dressed in that cottage core kind of aesthetic.
I remember this. I know what you're talking about. Yes, that they kicked her out of the party. They were having like a.
For being underdressed.
Yes, she was just. It wasn't even cottage.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Kindergarten teacher.
I saw this too. Yeah.
Yes, I remember that. Yes, I remember that. That was hilarious. Yes. No, don't come to the black tie party looking like fucking, you know, Rugrats. Like, what is this? Like, this is
no, really, it was like that camp, like kind of like best friend beaded necklace aesthetic. Yeah.
It literally looked like a candy necklace that she'd sucked on already. Yeah. Like, come on, sis. Come on, man.
She is just sobbing, and she's like, I literally went just to see her, like, my girlfriend, and I really just wanted to see her, and I don't understand, like, I thought we looked nice, and it's like, but then I looked up pictures from the event, and it was very, you know.
Gigi, black tie, that's what
yes.
they said.
Yes, it was, yeah. Black tie.
Yes, that's the tea. See, and if Young M.A. is listening, I would never do that to y'all. I would never. I would come dressed down to the nines, and I will be a very good third if that is what I have to do. Then I will do whatever. Oh, yeah. She listens to this. I know she does.
Yeah, we'll get her to.
That was crazy. That was hilarious. Like, come on now.
Yeah.
I just think y'all could go anywhere dressed anyhow. Like, come on now.
Well, hopefully she got famous off of it.
Yeah.
She got famous off of that.
I'm saying hopefully something good came. Like, you know, she got a lot of traffic. Can't you make money off TikTok? I don't know. We got to talk to Ashley Gavin. We don't know.
Yeah, she's doing ads for candy necklaces now. Like, she's doing she's doing ads for like for like little girl dresses. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
American Girl SpawnCon, like, you know,
SpawnCon, like, dress. She's not even a cute American Girl. She came in dressed like Addie. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, this is not the move. Yeah, that was hilarious. I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Well, that's gossip too. Count it.
Love it. Well, Sharia, where can people follow you on social media, shoot their shot, slide into your DMs? Where can they find you?
Please send your stud cousins to my DMs at Sharia Mattis Comedy on Instagram. Sharia Did That on Twitter and on TikTok. Sharia spelled S-H-E-R-I-A, Mattis, M-A-T-T-I-S. Hit me up. I will be posting more. Social media makes me anxious, and I've been working like a Caribbean single mother, but give me a break. I will be back. I will be posting shit. Don't worry.
Yes. And we will have you on one of our upcoming live shows.
Yes.
To do some stand up. We would love that so much.
Yes. Yes, please. I love y'all.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Well, you can follow us at Dyking Out and at Dyking Out Podcast on TikTok. You can follow me at TGI Carolyn.
I squealed because every time we mention it, it is a reminder to actually make a TikTok. Your eyes peeled. It could happen.
We're at least talking about it.
And that's an important first step. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm at Melody Kamali on all social media.
Remember, you can get an extra episode each week. Patreon.com/dyking out to hear our dyking off topic.
A lot more gossip there.
So much more gossip. So much more loosey-goosey. Very fun. We have a great time there. Thank you so much for listening this week.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. Wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.